friends. And How I Met Your Mother, I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
I should have said ahoy. Yeah. But we'll get to that later. How are you, Natalie?
It's the holiday season. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, holidays continue to be in full swing.
Yeah.
The holiday season is upon us.
If you are a chosen one, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, although this is probably coming out. No, this
it'll
is coming
be the out. Sixth, it'll be the sixth night of Hanukkah.
Okay, yeah. Right? So yeah, happy Hanukkah. Yeah, we had a nice Hanukkah dinner on the second night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went out to a place that had a special Hanukkah menu, so that was fun. I had some liver.
I made you some matzo ball soup today.
Today, yeah. Yeah.
Really jewing it up this year.
I love it. I'd say make it next year, we should plan to make it even more Jewy.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say Jewy?
I don't know.
I don't think I am.
No.
Yeah.
You're like the dentist on Seinfeld.
Tim Watley, Brian Cranston.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just because you married one doesn't mean you can make jokes.
I didn't make jokes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not making jokes like Tim Watley. But, yeah, I've heard you use the word Jewy, and it just, like, popped into my mind. And as soon as I said it, I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to say that.
Yeah. What could we do that would be, I guess, yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
what do you have?
I'm saying you would know.
Yeah, but did you have something in mind
for
next year?
Okay. No, I mean, you would know. Well, I mean, I requested that you'd say the prayer when you light the menorah the other night, and you did it the first night, or the second night, or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, all the prayers, I don't know. Should we give each other eight little gifts?
We could do, we could play dreidel.
Yeah, we spun dreidels at dinner the other night.
Yeah, but it's fun when you, like, follow the rules.
Yeah, I've never learned what the rules are.
The points, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want any guilt. Because I don't like cheap chocolate.
Yeah.
I like, at the very least, like brand name chocolate, you know?
Yeah.
Like even Hershey's is not great, but it's better than Gelt or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not a podcast about Hanukkah traditions. This is a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each every week. We're tracking the shows in concurrence with one another, and we are going to recap both episodes and compare and contrast with some of the fun segments. In case this is your first episode, that's how this is going to go. So what we're on is we're on season 6, episode 11 of both shows. Season 6, episode 11 of Friends is called The One with the Apothecary Table. Season 6, episode 11 of How I Met Your Mother is called The Mermaid Theory. So we are going to put a pin in that mermaid. And I thought you were going to, like, you used to do an ouch thing.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. That's better than I could have hoped for. And we're going to jump in with both feet or jump onto the Friends season 6, episode 11, The One with the Apothecary Table. So we pick up exactly where we left off, although we don't at first realize it's exactly where he left off, because Joey comes into Monica and Chandler's to tell everyone that he and Janine kissed, which is how the last episode ended. And then we realize it, like, literally just happened, and she's still over there.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Then they're clearly, like, together, because they're at the Perk, and Joey and Janine are loving up on each other.
Yeah, they're hot and heavy.
Yeah, they're hot and heavy. Apparently Janine's the best kisser ever. That's what Joey tells Rachel and Monica after Janine leaves for dance class.
She kisses better than his mom cooks.
Yeah, that's right. Then Chandler comes into the Perk, and he's got a bunch of Rachel's mail. He's going, Rachel's. No, that's... when I've told you before, one of my favorite jokes of King of the Hill is Hank Hill walking in the front door with the mail and going, bills, bills, bills. Why do we keep getting bills mail?
Yeah.
Anyway, but so he hands... Chandler hands Rachel a bunch of her mail, including a Pottery Barn catalog, and she points out the apothecary table she ordered from the Pottery Barn that's coming to her in, I almost said Janine, her and Phoebe's apartment. And Monica's like, what are you doing? Phoebe hates the Pottery Barn because it represents, like,
mass-produced.
Yeah, it's, which I kind of get. Like, everything, yeah. It has no character.
Yeah. I used to hate IKEA for that reason, but then I became a realist.
I mean, sometimes you need stuff. We don't have much IKEA stuff now, yeah, do we? Don't. But yeah, there's a period in your life where, like, you're going to get IKEA stuff. Now we have, you know, we're a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. We shop at Wayfair, another mass-produced...
That's true, giant, yeah.
Conglomerate.
I have a Wayfair chest of drawers. We had a Wayfair futon that sucked.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know what else we have from Wayfair, but that was... Just little tables.
Like, yeah. The stuff outside.
Yeah. But we also do, like Rachel pretends to in this episode, we do go to flea markets. Melrose Trading Post. Yeah. So, I don't know how you friends and mothers feel. On my other podcast, Battleship Retention, we will often get very specific about Los Angeles stuff, and our listeners have come to enjoy that, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true of the friends and mothers, but in case you are one of them, yeah, every Sunday at the corner of Melrose and Fairfax, on the grounds of Fairfax High School, there is an enormous flea market. You have to pay to get in. I mean, like, it's like $5, but you pay to get in.
Yeah, but it goes to the school.
Yeah, yeah, it's fundraiser stuff. There's a lot of stuff there. We've gotten a lot of stuff there in the past, including we have like a map theme for our home decor.
We have lots of
reproductions of classic maps, and we've gotten most of those from Melrose Trading Post. There's also the Rose Bowl Flea Market, which I've never been to, which is like the biggest one.
That's a good one. There's a Silver Lake Flea Market. There's a Larchmont Flea Market.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the Larchmont Farmers Market.
Yeah.
You and I went together.
Yeah, I think there's also a flea market.
Yeah. But I used to live, when we first started dating, I lived near the Larchmont area.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know you and I went to the farmer's market and got some, like, tamales or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's tamale season, by the way. We gotta stock up.
Yeah.
Not to give people too much of an idea of where we live, one of the places that always comes up on, like, best tamales in Los Angeles.
What is it called? Like,
it's, well, okay. If you go to most farmers markets, not only in Los Angeles, in the greater Southland area, if there's a tamale person, they're often selling Mi Gusta tamales.
Okay.
We live near the Mi Gusta sort of factory, but they also have like a window where you can literally just go up and buy tamales right there.
Straight from the source.
Straight from the factory. We live, I don't know, 4 blocks from it or something. Yeah. Probably a little more than that. But yeah.
We also have it's Christmas time. Like vegan Mexican food restaurants that also do tamales.
Well, Mi Gusta has so many. Whatever you think, the baseline Mi Gusta tamale is not.
I'm not sure.
Not vegetarian.
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, that was off. But yeah, this is all to say, you know, if you're decorating your place, you want it to have character. But we also understand that money is tight for a lot of people. Things are increasingly more expensive.
Yeah.
If you got to go to IKEA because you fucking need it. You know, you need a table to put things on.
Yeah.
No judgment there.
Yeah.
I've never been to a pottery barn, even though I'm getting all sorts of specifics. I work like a block and a half from the Beverly Hills Pottery Barn, but I've never been in there. Never been inside any pottery barn.
You know where I've never been into is a container store.
Neither have I.
But I think I would like it.
Wait. Yeah. I've never been in a container store. I've walked past. There used to be one at lots of specifics. The Century City Mall. I don't think that mall has been completely like redone over the years. Yeah. So I don't know which stores are there and which aren't. But yeah, I used to work in Century City and I definitely would walk past the container store because I remember there was a Borders next to the container store. And when Borders was going out of business, I bought a bunch of cheap Blu-rays. Mm. Anyway, so I've never been inside a container store. I've never been inside a Crate and Barrel. There's also one of those near my work. I realize that I don't actually know what Crate and Barrel makes. Like, I know it's not just, like, crates and barrels.
Nope, that's it. it's just, like, home furnishings, like, in general.
I've been inside a Pier 1 Imports.
Ugh, love Pier 1.
Oh, okay. Used to live near one of those. Now it's Harbor Freight Tools, I think. by your old work in Hollywood. I think that's what it's called now. All right. Anyway, Pottery Barn. So, I love it.
Do you think Pottery Barn was, like, okay with, like, kind of being, like, the butt of the joke?
But are they? I mean, everyone loves them by the end of this episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess
so. But I don't know if they have to be. I think you're allowed to.
But I guess, like, the Pottery Barn, like, understanding that what they stand for is, like, just, like, mass-produced, everyone had one, soulless. They're like,
yeah,
as long as people are buying them, we don't care.
You know what? Okay, another tangent. You know what Pottery Barn is? It's bourgeois. But people have taken the word bourgeois and turned it into the word bougie.
Yeah.
But then the word bougie has come to mean something that bourgeois never meant.
Yes.
Bougie just means like fancy now, as opposed to like social striving, like, middle class people who are trying to put on the airs of the aristocracy. That's what bourgeois is. So something like Pottery Barn is like, it's mass produced, but it looks like you have taste or whatever.
You have like such a hang up on that, but like language is fluid, so means something different.
Yeah, I'm not. You I know can't the language
correct people and be like,
I've never corrected anyone.
But in your mind, you want to correct them.
No, I don't want to correct them. It is difficult for me in the way that some people continue to have difficulty with like the singular they for like non-binary people. Mm-hmm. You know. That is something that it's like the word bougie, when I hear it, I have to like stop and do the mental like translation to be like, bougie comes from bourgeois, but does not mean bourgeois. I have to think that every time. I haven't gotten past it. I know the lexicon is fluid.
Yes.
Or else we'd all be talking like fucking Beowulf.
Yeah.
You know, it's OK to say, can I go to the bathroom? If your fucking, like, English teacher is still doing the, like, I don't know, can you?
May I?
Tell them.
Yeah.
Language is fluid.
Whenever I see a bumper sticker that says, who saved who, with, like, a paw print,
yeah,
I'm always like, whom?
Yeah, who saved whom?
Who saved whom?
Yeah. Anyway, so Pottery Barn is bourgeois, but it's not bougie.
Yeah.
Because bougie means something different. Anyway, Monica and Chandler, we're wasting so much time.
Yeah.
Monica and Chandler and Joey and Jeanine are coming home from a double date. They're having a laugh in the hallway, but then they make plans for the next night. And then as Joey and Jeanine get in, Jeanine's like, oh, we got to get out of the plans for the next night. Turns out Jeanine does not like Monica and Chandler.
Yeah.
Which, like, I know, like, obviously our allegiances are with the friends, but also, like, I kind of get it. She's not wrong.
Yeah. Chandler is blah, blah.
Yeah. And Monica's loud, but I don't think that would bother me as much.
Yeah.
I mean, Monica is my favorite of them, so. I don't know if Monica is my favorite. I don't know.
Phoebe's our favorite. Or Joey's our favorite.
I think Phoebe's maybe our favorite. Monica is the one I most relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah. As evidenced by my big grammatical nitpicking,
yeah.
I'm very much like Monica in many ways.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Rachel is telling an obvious lie to Phoebe about how she got the apothecary table at a flea market, and she knows all this history about it that she's clearly making up, and Phoebe buys it because she's a sweetheart. But then Ross is having Phoebe and Rachel over
For movie night.
I guess that means that Rachel and Phoebe are manatees to Ross, right? To borrow from the next episode. Anyway, and it turns out Ross also got the same table. He's super excited about it, but Rachel's like, no, we have to cover it up. Ross thinks that Phoebe's weird because she's a twin and twins are weird. And Rachel points out the hypocrisy of a twin wanting everything to be one of a kind
when she's not one of a kind.
Let's see. Meanwhile, then it's the next night it's the second night after the double date. Chandler and Monica are expecting Joey and Jeanine, but Joey says Jeanine's sick. but it turns out that was the wrong excuse. He was supposed to say she's going to a play mm-hmm. or something. So Joey has to confess that Janine doesn't like them and tell them why. Meanwhile, while they're watching the movie, Phoebe kicks over the wine onto the table they've covered up with the sheet, mm-hmm. and then she finds the table. And Rachel continues to, like, dig herself deeper in lies, and Phoebe continues to be gullible. Or is it just kind and sweet? Like, I don't know. To a certain extent, like, I understand, like, a gullible person is someone who is, like, open and accepting right. and thinks the best of people.
Yeah.
And maybe because they that's not me. Constantly
take advantage
yeah.
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. Joey invites Chandler and Monica to a movie. Oh, so Joey comes over the next day to apologize for Janine and say, why don't we go see a movie or something together? We find out that back when Joey was keeping Chandler and Monica's romance a secret, Chandler paid him $200. Paid him off,
yeah.
Back at Rachel and Phoebe's apartment, Rachel bought a bunch of Pottery Barn stuff and is lying about all of it, and Phoebe is, again, still buying it.
Yeah.
And then Phoebe says something... repeats something that Rachel had said about Ross's taste in front of Ross. And so Ross, to get back at Rachel, is like, why don't you take Phoebe to this flea market where you keep finding all this stuff?
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't find anything at the flea market. I'm surprised Rachel even knew how to find a flea market.
Yeah.
But on the way back, they walk past a Pottery Barn.
Yeah.
A real, like, I mean, obviously not a real one. It's a stage. But, like, it has the Pottery Barn, like, font and everything, mm-hmm. which is still the same, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't changed it. They walk past a Pottery Barn, and Phoebe realizes what's going on, but then she kind of likes the stuff, and, like...
The window display is exactly their apartment, yeah. everything except, like, one item.
Yeah, but then Phoebe kind of, like, talks herself into how she likes it, but she needs Rachel to, like, guide her there, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, coming home from another double date... Janine apologizes and says, I liked you. This is the movie, I guess, they came home from. But then they get inside, and it turns out she didn't like them. Joey says, like, I can't be with you if you don't like my best friends. And so she apologizes to Monica in the hallway, but then that doesn't go well, and they start fighting, and the fellas are like, let's go watch the fight, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the episode ends, except we get a scene at the park at the end where we find out Janine has moved out, and Ross thinks that Joey coming to see him give a lecture will cheer him up, and the idea that Ross thinks that actually cheers yeah, Joey up.
It works.
And that's the end of the episode. Do I have any stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
Yeah, I liked some of the details in this. Like, it's cold, so they're all, you know, there's snow on the ground, and they're all, like, bundled up, so they're all wearing, like, I guess we could talk about that in fashion. Also, like, we get a Zabar's bag, just like a
oh, really?
Passerby has a
oh, Zabar's bag,
which I like those little
yeah.
touches.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funniest moments?
Okay. I have quite a few.
Oh, I don't have that many, but... I have two from two different scenes. The first one is when Joey tells Monica that Janine thinks she's loud. She goes, what? What?
Monica, like, resorting to violence with Janine and hitting her with a bag of garbage.
Well,
like the garbage bag assault.
Yeah, I had that, but also the moment right before that, which I thought you would love because you love jokes about people saying things under their breath.
Yes.
So, yes. like... After they like make up, Janine is like, okay, I'll see you. And then she turns around, she goes, I'll hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I loved everything about that.
Yeah. Okay. And then my last one is same thing. When Joey tells Chandler that Janine thinks he's blah, he says, I am not blah. I am a hoot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll start at the beginning. When Joey is like blabbing to the crew about kissing Janine, cause they're like, just face it. Like, she's not into you. And he said, we kissed it up real nice. And that reminded me of like something Kramer would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also when Joey's lying about Janine, he said that she's sick and he got the lie wrong. And he's like, well, you know what they say? Starve a fever, go to a play for a cold. when Chandler says
I don't think starving yourself is ever a good like home remedy for anything.
No,
of don't starve
not.
Yourself.
No, of course not. Also, when Chandler brings Rachel her mail and she's like, I just want the Pottery Barn, you can throw the rest away. And he's like, I'm not your garbage man, I'm your mailman. and then when Rachel's like making up like history of different items and she's like, it's from yore, like the days of yore, you know? And Phoebe's like, yeah. And then Ross is like, what are some other time periods, Rachel? So you got your as yesteryear, colonial times, and that's all of them. Also, like, Ross now has to lie that he got the sheets at Pottery Barn.
Right.
Or at the flea market. And Phoebe's like, you bought your sheets at the flea market? Like, if you need some money, like, I can help
when
you.
He's like, you ruined my sheets. And Phoebe's like, I'll give you the 80 cents.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all I have.
So moving on to Friends But Make It Fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when Joey is making up the excuse about Janine, Monica is wearing a like embroidered sweatshirt that has like a flower? Embroidered like flower on it. I thought it was very cool.
It was cool. I like Phoebe's space buns and like purple geometric turtleneck.
I like the space buns.
Yeah.
I don't like the geometric. It reminded me of the shirts that Dan flashes from I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The more complicated the pattern is, the more expensive the shirt is.
Yes.
Last thing I'll mention, just because I'm in a judgmental mood, when Joey comes over at the beginning, he's got his slacks on, he's got his shirt tucked in, but he's got empty belt loops. I don't like that look.
I never wear a belt, so does that bother you?
No. I think it's like wearing a hat and shirts. The rules are different for men. I think women can have empty belt loops. I think men, it looks weird.
I don't even own a belt.
I own many belts. No, I own like 5 belts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's just my personal taste. Men, if you got belt loops and people can see them, put a belt in those loops.
Friends and mothers.
Yeah, what friends and think? Mothers. What do you think? What do you think of empty loops?
Belt it out.
Yeah. I was going to say hashtag empty loops, but I think belt it out is better.
Real quick, let's go to props to the props department. Did you notice in the perk they had, that famous painting by George Rodriguez, the blue dog, like the Cajun. There was a blue dog poster and then also a coffee table book.
Oh, wow.
On the same blue dog. Once you see it, you'll recognize it. Blue. It's like pop art. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a little blue corgi.
Yeah, it's really cute.
And it's friends with a red gator.
It is friends with it's like Cajun.
Yeah.
Cajun art.
Watch out for that gator.
also, the Joey's apartment, they have Oreo-O's.
Oh.
Also,
those are probably Janine's.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll get to this later, but Chinese takeout and lots of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
wait, there was Chinese takeout in Friends?
That's why I said, yes, the very first scene at the house, they're all eating.
That's what
Chinese.
They're eating when Joey comes over to brag.
Yes. They also have a bowl of pears, a giant bowl of pears.
Yeah.
And Mazel to the Magna.
Well, who's they?
Monica and Chandler.
That blue and yellow bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mazel to the Magna, we have a fire-breathing dragon.
Yes, saw that. And was there a knight there, too?
No knight.
Just a fire-breathing dragon. Okay.
Unless I missed a knight.
Yeah, I don't know. Was there a knight, friends and mothers?
Yeah. Hashtag night or not.
Hashtag oh what a night.
Or not.
Or not. Okay. Under the umbrella, what do you got?
When Monica's trying to modulate her voice level and she's practicing and Chandler's like, that's a perfect decibel, and she says, I know.
Yeah, that was one of mine. And then I also had just like, Ross is boring. That's under the umbrella. That's a running thing.
Yeah.
With the lecture.
Yeah. Also under the umbrella. Yeah. Too many pairs and overdoing the Chinese food takeout order. Although, like, if you're getting together with a big group of people, you're going to order, like, a lot of things. And if you do it, like, family style, that makes sense.
But I still think you're going to order
one
no dish. More than one entree per person. And maybe then some, like, you know, sides of rice and some egg rolls.
That might be what they do.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe we're too harsh.
It's too bad Joey wasn't with them, because with six, you get egg roll.
Right.
Okay. Anything else on that note? Reference to a forgotten 60s family comedy. Is that a good note to go on a break on?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, what are you talking
about? With six, you get egg roll?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Okay.
All right. Let's take a break.
Okay.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, we're back from a break and we're ready to jump into How I Met Your Mother Season 6, Episode 11, The Mermaid Theory. Natalie, take it away.
Okay, so Zoe is like the new addition to their friendship group. And part of that is the regularity of the captain. And they're all kind of afraid of the captain.
Yeah.
And Marshall figures out why they're so afraid of the captain by taking a photo of him, blowing it up,
yeah.
And then, like, having a poster created. And it's... He figures out that, like, he has a smile that looks happy, but then his eyes have, like, murder in them. Which is, like, very funny because I kept getting, like, reminders of evil Dale Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because, that's right. Like, how's he Annie? Does have, yeah. like, evil eyes.
Yeah. Or is it Where's Annie?
Yeah.
Where's Annie?
So Ted wants to invite everyone to the Frank Lloyd Wright retrospective, and no one wants to go, but then he's just going to go with Zoe. And then everyone is like, ooh, yikes. Like, you shouldn't hang out with a married person if you're yeah. friends with her.
Do you think the listeners can hear me roll my eyes?
Well, no, you said, ugh.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I hate this shit. This is some Mike Pence shit.
This is some Mike Pence shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. If you don't like...
Mother doesn't like when I'm alone with a woman.
Yeah. I mean, if like...
I can't be trusted, says Mother.
I know. Because that's like... Mike Pence is either saying, I don't trust myself around women, or I don't trust women.
Either. Like, both of those things
yeah.
are bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So like... I don't know. If I were in a position where I were, like, nervous about you being alone with another man, like...
What does that say about
I know. Trust? The problem is... Yeah. The problem yeah. lies elsewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that would say more about you, because that means, like, when you're around a woman, you can't control yourself.
Yeah, so. Or it just means I don't trust you, which
yeah.
isn't true.
And also, you know, men can't control... Yeah, it's just all bad.
Well, I mean, men can't control themselves around you. I've seen it.
It's true.
It's true. I did see an unnamed... Remember, this is years ago. I saw an unnamed famous person check out your ass at a bar.
You can name him.
Okay, because you love it.
I love it.
It was Tom Lennon from Reno 911 in the
state.
Because
he's one of my favorites, so yeah. I'm like,
and okay. We were at the bar, the White Horse, because I don't think it's there anymore. And I think you were either closing out or ordering another drink. In some way, for some reason, you were leaning forward over the bar. And he stepped up to the bar next to you to order a drink, and I caught him like... Looking at your ass.
Maybe I was like wiggling around, like yeah. asking for it. So there are rules, I guess, to hang out with married friends or whatever.
Yeah. Lily has a bunch of dumb
rules. So the rules are don't go anywhere that has candles. Number two is don't share food. And number three is don't lie about anything. And so they're saying, like, you can't be friends. And then Marshall and Robin are trying to prove them wrong by saying, like, we're going to hang out. Because they don't typically hang out.
Yeah, but I don't think that was trying to prove him wrong. It was just that, like, Robin was saying that Marshall and Lily could hang out because they... Or, sorry. Lily was saying that Marshall and Robin could hang out because they're, like, old friends. It's not a new friend.
Right.
But then they realized that they don't. Never so they were
do.
Like,
so they're like, hey, let's do hang it.
Out. Yeah. I don't envy you having to recap this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets very tricky because... So, now that Ted and Zoe are going to this exhibit and Marshall and Robin are pairing off, all that's left is Barney and Lily. And we first are presented with Lily saying nah to Barney's offer to hang out. But then they got in like a huge fight and Ted forgets. And like Bob Saget forgets. Breaks the fourth wall in like the telling the kids the story. And the kids are very patient and... He's like, I truly don't remember what happened.
Yeah, and Barney and Lily break the fourth wall. They literally, like, look at the camera and then, like, look at their watches.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to remember what happened
here? Yeah. So Zoe gets a call from the captain. And she answers, ahoy. Was the ringtone The Simpsons?
Oh, I
thought it was.
I doubt it. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, that song, I don't know.
Okay, there was like a funny ringtone. Maybe it was like a nautical theme song or something.
I don't know. You sure you weren't hearing the ice cream truck outside?
But then but then I was thinking,
hello.
Monty Burns answers the phone, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
Yeah, so then I was like thinking, I was in my head. Okay, they're at McLaren's and Lily's again saying like, it's not okay to be friends. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Marshall and Robin are on their date. It's very awkward already. They have three things that they can talk about, cold weather, sports, and cold weather sports. They go through everything in 16 seconds, and they're just like having an awkward conversation and just staring at each other. And then their eyes are twitching. And then the server comes by and says, like, can I get you something to drink? And they're like, yes, yes. So they, like, decide to get drunk. That breaks the awkwardness. Barney's, like, eating sad ice cream at McLaren's. McLaren's has ice cream?
Well, remember, this is Bob Saget, Ted's faulty memory.
But do you think he thinks that McLaren... Do you think McLaren's has ice cream on the menu?
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Maybe for birthdays.
I'm trying to think of like, not like gastro pubs, but just like pubs that we have gone to that have food, like Pineapple Hill, which you don't go to anymore. They had food. They had good food.
Yeah.
Did they have desserts on the menu?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did they have?
I don't remember, but I know they had desserts.
So that's, I guess, I think of McLaren's as being Pineapple Hill-ish.
Right. And if it's like an Irish pub, they probably have like... sticky toffee pudding with ice cream or apple pie with ice cream. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, it was like a comically large ice cream sundae. And he's mad at Lily. And then we're like confused because Ted doesn't remember the story. Like did, Lily save Barney also has an ice cream cone outside.
Well, that's because,
and is walking into the street.
Initially Bob Saget, Ted remembers it as taking place in McLaren's, but then a motorcycle drives through McLaren's and he's like, oh wait, this took place outside.
Yeah.
So it's a different, it's like he has the outside ice cream cone instead of the inside sundae.
So in one version, Lily saves Barney from getting hit by a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, the captain invites, well, Ted thinks it's like he's going to hang out with the couple. And that's the only way that they could be friends. That's what Lily says. Like, you have to be friends with both members of the couple. So Ted agrees to go on the captain's boat with Zoe and Captain. Zoe has a sickness, so it's just the captain and Ted. Captain and Ted Neal.
I was just thinking, this just occurred to me now. In the awkward conversation between Robin and Marshall, Robin mentions that it's cold out.
Yeah.
It's December and it's cold out. It must be freezing out there on that boat.
Oh, yeah. It's like Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Ted's getting increasingly like terrified of the captain on the boat.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, we're really far out. He's afraid. Let's see. At dinner, they're talking about it being boring. Okay, and then, wait, who? Barney tells Marshall about the mermaid theory?
Well, oh. Marshall tells Robin about the mermaid theory,
that,
and then we get the flashback to Barney telling Marshall about it.
So the mermaid theory is, basically, Marshall's like hiring a new assistant. Barney refers to her as iBroccoli because she's like so ugly, and except, she's not eye candy, I guess.
Right, but she's clearly, it's like a parody of the, like, yes. She's all that, like
she's wearing a beautiful ponytail and has glasses.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, clearly like... Which is, like, I always, like, felt so offended because I always have glasses and a ponytail.
Yeah, but you're adorable.
But that's, like, the stand-in for, like, ugly and homely.
Yeah. Huh. Did you ever see, what's it called, National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1, the, like, Lethal Weapon parody?
Mm-mm.
And there's a character, we meet her, and she's, like, in this old buck-toothed librarian with, like, literally like mold in her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go outside and they're going to go somewhere, and she's like, hold on a second, let me take my hair down. And she does this and comes up, and literally for the rest of the movie it's Kathy Ireland.
So yeah, like, and also I don't like the idea that like Marshall, yeah, this is very Mike Pence-y, Marshall can't even like trust himself around an attractive assistant because he will ultimately like harass her if she's too attractive.
Yeah, or try to have sex on the desk like George and the cleaning woman.
Yeah, Marshall, come on. I thought you were one of the good ones.
And also, like, who are you to say that, like, she's not, like, you think she's not gonna be able to resist you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she might not be into you at all.
Yeah, but it's, like, a power dynamic, so he's, like, convinced that, like,
right.
Whatever. So then Barney talks about the mermaid theory, the myth of the mermaid, so... 30 years ago, and we get like a flashback to the days of yore, like their old sailors 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Like sailors were so lonely in the middle of the ocean that manatees started looking good to them.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's only a matter of time before she turns from a manatee into a mermaid. And then we see like what's supposed to be a hilarious manatee costume. And then like,
I thought the manatee costume was funny.
I mean, it is. It is funny. But then like, slowly, like, the manatee gets, like, a blonde wig and seashell bra and, like, turns into a mermaid.
Yeah.
So Iris is a manatee, and then after 1 year, 3 months, and 16 days, she turns into a mermaid. Robin is a manatee to Barney.
Marshall.
Yes. And then they say, like, the sea does strange things to men. And then we're back on the boat with the captain and Ted. Ted is, like, so afraid he's going to, like, jump off the boat. And then he's like, oh, this is silly. And then he accidentally, like, falls off the boat. He tells the captain that he was, like, afraid.
Yeah.
And the captain... the captain kind of, like, admits that he's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Kind of relating to some of Zoe's friends because he's older and kind of in a different, I don't know, crew. But yeah, the captain is very funny and I like him a lot. Barney eats all of Lily's onion rings and then Lily calls him fat and he's like, you should never call a girl fat. And that's when Ted's like, wait, the story is wrong.
Yeah.
Barney is actually saying it to Lily.
This is why I said I didn't envy you trying to recap this episode.
I always struggle with it, and this just makes it so much worse. But this one is,
particularly.
Ted, like, admits defeat, that he says, like, he doesn't remember the fight. Ted gets his phone harpooned.
Wait, does he?
He can't get called to... Yeah, and then the phone, like... Doesn't he take
it? Oh, that's right.
The phone gets accidentally harpooned.
Well, the captain knocks it out of his hand.
With a harpoon.
Yeah. I was picturing like a harpoon like going through the phone.
Let's see. Okay, so yeah, Marshall admits that he was afraid Robin will turn into a foxy fish babe. because he has like beer goggles.
Right.
And she starts to, but then she barfs, and then he'll never be attracted to her. And then Barney says the only way to unmermaid someone is if she's pregnant. And that's when we realize that Ted's flashbacks were a whole different year. It's when Lily is actually pregnant and is offended that Barney's like calling her fat.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. He calls her a big fat manatee. Or she thinks she's a big fat manatee.
Yeah, that's what he says. You're like, you're pregnant. Now that you're pregnant, you're just a big fat manatee.
Yeah. So Barney actually saved Lily, and she thinks it's sweet because he saved both of them, her and the baby.
But she's still holding an ice cream cone, which actually is pretty funny.
Yeah. And then Barney says that there's an addendum to that, that, like, she's hot again if she breastfeeds, which is hot.
Yeah, that's clearly... Barney is, A, not accounting for the fact that a lot of people have pregnancy fetishes.
That's true.
And also not accounting for the fact that his breastfeeding thing is his own fetish, because I don't think most people are turned on by breastfeeding. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I'm not turned on by things where there's a little baby involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You told me one thing, what?
Oh, like Pence wouldn't want to see a pregnant woman breast or a woman breastfeeding. Yeah. That's why, like, there's so much, like, don't breastfeed in public, because, like, there's some weird, like, sexual thing about, like, people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
About
remember
it.
When John Ashcroft was attorney general at whatever building the attorney general works out, there was like statues of like justice or whatever, and she's like nude or whatever, and he had the statue covered up while he was attorney general.
If people are uncomfortable with breastfeeding, they're the perverts. They're showing their bullshit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hang-ups. Sorry, friends and mothers, if you are uncomfortable by breastfeeding.
It's fine. It's not sexy, though.
Yeah.
I don't think. Look, if someone has a breastfeeding fetish, I'm not here to judge. Right?
That's the thing. Like, it's a natural part of... It's like, you should have a bathroom to use. You should be able to breast... You know, like, it's something that's natural and normal. Everyone was a baby at one time.
That's true. It is true.
You know, I make a statement, and I'm sticking to it. Everyone was a baby at one point. I don't care what anyone says. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Ted walks into McLaren's in a dress, and we don't know why. I guess we'll get to that.
Because that's from the next year. That's
future, from the future.
The future story.
Yeah, because it where jumps Lily's around time-wise. Marshall's friend? Okay, Zoe admits that she wasn't sick. She felt guilty about lying, and so she knows that the captain gets a little murdery, but she wanted them to like spend some time together.
Yeah.
And so then they're sitting together at McLaren's, and they're like, well, there's nothing wrong with like us hanging out. We have no feelings for each other, right?
Yep.
And then we get like the ticking mermaid clock.
Yeah,
we don't know who it's ticking for.
Yeah,
or
who's
both.
Who's
turning into a mermaid. And then we get like a final tag at the end when Marshall and Barney are sailors again, and Barney turns into a mermaid, and Marshall says like, we need to get to land.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I had a couple of things I wanted to point out or just bring up and ask about. One is like, I'm trying to, like, have you ever been in that situation where like Marshall, I'm asking you and I'm also asking the friends and mothers, like Marshall and Robin, where you're like friends with someone generally, but like you've never hung out alone and then you do?
And
I mean, it's not necessarily as awkward as this, but, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, you and I have friends that we play trivia with, another couple, mm-hmm. right? And I know them through him, and they would come to our barbecues and everything. Mm-hmm. But for a time, she, the woman in the couple, mm-hmm. worked in the same building as I did. Mm-hmm. And we would occasionally get lunch together. And at first it was like, oh, I've been friends with this person for years and have never been one-on-one with them.
Yeah.
It wasn't awkward or anything, but it was just like...
This is new.
Yeah, it's just like a new thing. But I'm trying to think, like... Because you and I mean, as much as we are a couple, we still have, like... We're friends with each other's friends, but it's still kind of clear, like, mm-hmm. who's friends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, like, it would be weird if you... I mean, I'd be fine with it, but you would probably be awkward if you and, like, my friend Frank just, like, got lunch together.
Yeah.
The two of you. Yeah. Or if me and your friend Tanya, like...
Yeah.
Sat down for a drink together. Yeah, like, that would be weird. It would be awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll admit that, like, sometimes if we're, say, like, in a big group of friends and everyone's talking and having a great time and then, like... me and someone that I kind of don't know, like, are at the bar at the same time, it's kind of like, hey, you again?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Good day. Like, it doesn't have to be awkward, and it shouldn't, but because I'm naturally socially awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're not protective over each other's friends.
Oh, God, like, no.
Yeah. If you wanted to go get dinner with Frank, that'd be fine.
I don't think that's a risk. Just kidding. I love Frank.
Literally everybody who knows Frank loves Frank. He's a really lovable guy.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing I wanted to point out that I liked, okay, obviously you have already hinted that they're eating Chinese food when at the beginning. They're eating out of like what I thought were especially large containers. And also that scene goes on so long that I was obsessed with Neil Patrick Harris not eating. Multiple times he like reaches his chopsticks in, pulls out what like is supposed to be like a pepper or like an orange chicken or something, mm-hmm. and then doesn't eat it. I was like watching him like
not eat the pepper.
Yeah, because they're probably not real or whatever.
Yeah.
But I liked the detail that once Bob Saget Ted realizes that the fight between Lily and Barney happened at a different date, we cut back to the same general setup, except
general setup.
Where the gang is all sitting around eating Chinese food, but they're not eating out of the cartons. They're eating off of paper plates, like to differentiate the two scenes. Yeah. I liked that touch. Yeah. And pregnant Lily's like massive plate of like chow mein and wontons looked delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's supposed to be like a funny joke when Neil Patrick Harris like sets the beer like just above what would be Lily's pregnant belly, so it's like him doing magic, which we know he's a magician in real life, so that's kind of like under the umbrella a little bit.
Yeah because he's done magic on the show before too.
So like Ted knows that the beer was placed in that exact spot but didn't know if it was magic or a pregnant, and then
But, now I'm craving... Well, you and I somewhat recently went to a restaurant here in Los Angeles called Genghis Cohen.
We got some Chinese food.
Yeah, but their whole deal, Genghis Cohen, is like, this is Chinese food, but like you would get on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Which is like a different kind of Americanized Chinese food.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that sort of fills that craving. Where are we? Funniest moments. What do you got?
Okay. I love when Marshall and Robin are like pretending they're friends and she calls him Marsh Madness and he calls her RoboCop.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Mine are just, well, we already said Zoe answering the phone, ahoy. That was funny. The other ones of mine are just captain related.
Yes.
When he knocks the phone out of Ted's hand with the harpoon, he goes, "Oh, bother." Like Winnie the Pooh.
And then he also says, "Just jesting for sport."
Yeah, when he says something like threatening.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, "You gotta stop doing that." And he's like, "Oh, I'm just jesting for sport."
Yeah, because he also says, "Ah, vast is the sea, deep, endless." So, yeah, very ominous. He gets very murdery.
Yeah, and he like screams when he's like, "No one can hear you out here." Ah, and he like gets like psycho screaming and stuff. And like, the opening, the first scene on the boat when he like recreates Marshall's like separating the eyes from the smile thing with the shadows. He steps forward with the big, and all you can see is the bottom of his face. And then he steps forward again, and all you can see is the top half. It's very, everything about Kyle MacLachlan in this episode is very funny.
He's great.
Yeah.
We talked about like the Marshall and Robin's like awkward conversation, but when she says December chill, so great. And then the whole eye twitching thing I thought was funny.
Yeah.
That's it.
Should we move on to How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion?
All I have for this is Marshall is a hunky sailor.
Oh, you liked Marshall as a hunky sailor?
Yeah.
Okay, I liked Marshall's, and I think you're going to disagree with me. But when he and Robin come home and they're drunk, he's wearing like a leather, like belted, like sort of half trench coat with epaulettes or whatever. It looks very like, he looks like 70s sleazeball, but I liked it.
Oh, I would like it too. I guess I didn't notice.
Yeah, I liked it. Christmas is just around the corner, you know. You're gonna get me
it's a lean year.
Yeah, it's true. So I start with Under the Umbrella. Okay. We have two different sets of rules. We have Lily's rules for married people hanging out without their spouses, and we have the mermaid theory. Mm-hmm. There's also gay panic, of course, at the end. Mm-hmm. We got to find land. Mm-hmm. And then I liked this, reminding us that Marshall very much believes in cryptids, like mm-hmm. Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah.
Because when Garney is like, do you know where the mermaid myth came from? And Marshall's like, myth?
It's a myth. Yeah. Yeah, that is funny. Yeah, we talked about MPH magic. Also, fat phobia. Like, Lily doesn't want to be fat, neither does Barney.
And just the idea of, like, a manatee. Like, calling an unattractive woman a manatee. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, there was, like, Barney, like, placing a bet on everything. Marshall's like, I don't remember this mermaid theory being a bet. Because everything is like money related. That's all I have. We have some similarities that we discussed already. Should I get into it?
Yeah, let's go right into similarities.
Chinese food delivery. Also, outsiders entering the group and having some issues. So, Janine, we talked about, you like when an outsider enters a group. Yep. So, Zoe is also introduced to the group.
Yeah.
Also, lying about being sick. Janine.
I have that one, too.
Janine and Zoe.
Yeah.
The idea that Ross is a boring lecturer and so is Ted. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also, like, couple goals, like porch friends. Monica and Chandler are so excited to have another couple to date, and so are Lily and Marshall.
That is something, friends and mothers, if you are not in or never been in a long-term relationship, you don't understand like how valuable like couple other friends. Couples are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird, but like we like always desire to hang out with other couples. Ugh,
I hate myself, but I'm like, do you think they like game nights? Yeah. Do you think they like wine and game nights? What about like craft beer and games? Do you like cards? Also kind of like talking about historical periods, days of yore.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I had a really specific one.
Okay.
That is, I didn't mention this in Make It Fashion, but the jacket that Monica is wearing when they come home from the movies and the captain's, like, red sea windbreaker are remarkably similar.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Like, a very similar style and color.
Okay. Ooh, I just came up with one.
Okay.
Mythical creatures, the mermaid and fire-breathing dragon in the Magna.
Of course, yeah. All right, well, I think it's time to play favorites.
3, 2, 1,
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. How many mothers are starting to get real sweaty with some of these things, mm-hmm. you know, like the mermaid thing. And I didn't like all the, like, yeah, eye broccoli. I didn't like that kind of mean joke.
Also guest stars. Elle McPherson, Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We don't have any correspondence to catch up on.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Friends and mothers, we haven't given you enough calls to action, I guess.
Well, I want to know about, have you ever like been in a situation where you hung out with someone you've known a long time but have never been alone with? I want to know about that.
Yes.
I want to know how you feel about empty belt loops.
Yes.
I want to know whether or not there was a knight in the Magna with the fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah.
Or if it was just a fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah.
Breathing fire all by himself.
Also, what is the appropriate Chinese food takeout order?
Yeah, that's a
classic.
Evergreen, yeah, for us. Now it is time to... Oh, yeah, if you're an East Coaster... Are you partial to that style of Chinese food? Which mm-hmm. I feel like is very similar to what I got in the Midwest, too.
Yeah.
I just think in Southern California, it's a little bit different, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's also good.
Also, what's your favorite big box furniture?
Yeah.
Purveyor.
Yeah. I'm not an expert in Chinese food, but I know that people who are say that the San Gabriel Valley mm-hmm. in Los Angeles County has some of the best and most authentic Chinese food in the country.
Yeah.
I know we went once. We got some Chinese soup or something after we got our taxes done in Hacienda Heights, which is in the San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah.
But I haven't really explored that area. It always comes up on lists,
yeah.
But yeah, we should do like a dumpling tour.
Yeah.
Take a day, get some, see if maybe we can find another couple who like dumplings. And we can drive around the San Gabriel Valley eating dumplings. All right, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. So, Season 6, Episode 11 of Friends, the one with the apothecary table, aired on Thursday, January 6th, 2000, a date which did not yet live in infamy, January 6th.
Right.
So the world survived Y2K. Things didn't fall apart.
Yeah.
unfortunately, I have a sad one. Mm. The last Pyrenean ibex was found dead. It is now, the Pyrenean ibex is an extinct species, and it was found dead apparently because a tree fell on it. Mm. And it was the last one. There hasn't been another one seen since January 6, 2000.
Oh.
It's an extinct species now. Top 5 songs in the U.S. on that day.
Wait, didn't we hear, we heard one of the chart toppers in Vegas. We went to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, we heard a remix of Like a G6 by Far East Movement.
Yes.
Yeah. Top 5 songs in the U.S. Oh, don't tell me. Did you change the... Okay. They changed the layout of the site, so hold on. Top 5 songs in the U.S. Okay. Number 5, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. I forgot about the misdemeanor part.
Yeah.
Hot Boys?
I love her, but I don't know that song.
Okay. And number 4, Whitney Houston, My Love Is Your Love. At number 3, Jessica Simpson, I Want to Love You Forever. You know, I've been listening to Adam Green lately. People know him as half of the Moldy Peaches, but he's put out a number of solo albums.
Including a Hanukkah song.
Including a Hanukkah song, which is not great. But, like Moldy Peaches, a lot of his stuff is kind of jokey, but it's often very smart and emotional, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a song called Jessica that is, like, about Jessica Simpson, but... It's actually a really good song.
Hmm.
At number 2, Brian McKnight, Back at One. And at number 1, I don't know if you know this song, it's called Smooth, it's by Santana. Season 6, Episode 11 of How I Met Your Mother, The Mermaid Theory, aired on Monday, December 6th, 2010. As far as what happened in the world on this day... Oh, this is like... do you remember the WikiLeaks leaks of diplomatic cables from like American diplomats?
Kind of.
So for November and December of 2010, a bunch of what were supposed to be, you know, classified cable communications got released by WikiLeaks, and December 6th was one of the last ones. And it revealed things such as Hillary Rodham Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, talking about how Saudi Arabia is the most significant source for funding Sunni terrorist organizations worldwide. Not something that the State Department probably wanted Saudi Arabia to read.
Right.
It also... Diplomatic cable saying the Prime Minister of Australia suggested using military force against China. There's a bunch of some really revealing stuff on that.
Yeah.
And that was released on that day. Top 5 songs in the U.S. on this day. I have to navigate the new layout of this site. to find it. Okay. At number five, Rihanna, What's My Name? What's My Name? Right? At number four, Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are. At number three, Rihanna again, Only Girl in the World. At number two, a song that I love, because everyone loves it. Anyone who says they don't are lying. Baby, you're a firework. Nitters, come on, show them what.
But I feel like it should be saved for 4th of July.
Yeah. Or for... Did you ever see Rust and Bone with Marion Cotillard?
Nope.
And Matthias Schoenaerts, I think?
Uh-uh.
It's not a great movie, but she plays like a whale trainer at like a SeaWorld type place, but it's in France or Belgium. Or
okay.
And there's a scene of her like rehearsing with a whale a number set to Firework by Katy Perry.
Okay.
We did a while back at Battleship Retention. We did an episode just discussing some of our favorite needle drops of all time. Okay. And I put that one on there. Yeah. And at number one, Pink, Raise Your Glass. All right. What's next? One more segment?
Next week?
One more segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both episodes of both shows based only on the episode title. But first, we had to see how we did last week. So I said that Apothecary Table was Monica sends Chandler on a mission to procure an antique table, and let's just say things get upended. That is not what happened.
Mm-mm.
You said Barney's ideal woman is something of a mermaid. A siren, you might say.
No.
We were both wrong, so we remain tied at 2 on the season. I'm going to look up next week's episode titles, but I'm going to need you to vamp with the brand new Holiday Fearless Flyer.
Apple crumble pie. Vegan gingerbread loaf. Figgy cheddar. Organic jumbo cinnamon rolls. Holiday vegetable hash. Uncured bacon-wrapped porchetta.
Okay. Season 6, episode 12 of Friends is called The One with the Joke. The One with the Joke. The One with the Joke. I'm going to say... this is the one where Ralphie Cifaretto makes a joke about Ginny Sacramento's weight, and it gets back to John Sacramento because little Polly tells Polly, and Polly tells Johnny Sack. Oh, wait, different show. The one with the joke. I wonder if... See, I'm just like borrowing from other sitcoms. Because, of course, How I Met Your Mother had the thing where, like, they explained Allison Hannigan being gone for her pregnancy because, like, Barney told a joke that was so filthy that she wouldn't talk to any of them for, like, a month or whatever. Yeah. But then I'm also thinking of Seinfeld with the, like, hello, la, 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 like, where... Jerry and his friends have a joke about his girlfriend's belly button and what it sounds like when it talks, and they choose the joke over her. So I'm going to say that. Chandler tells an unfunny joke, if you can imagine. And refuses to apologize for it.
Okay.
Season 6, episode 12 of How I Met Your Mother is called False Positive.
Okay. So maybe this is too obvious, but I think it's a pregnancy test for Lily. And she gets a false positive, and maybe people show their true colors.
Oh, okay. Lily gets a false positive on a Preggers test. And
we get a glimpse at how people really feel about Lily's pending.
See how the gang really feel.
Yeah.
Okay. We did it.
We did it.
That's it. That's the episode. You can find the podcast wherever you found it. You already did that. Good job. You're good at that. But you can find a post for every episode at battleshipretention.com. You can leave a comment there. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at, what am I? Davey Pretension. Mm-hmm. My other podcast is called Battleship Pretension. We talk about movies there. Natalie, where do you want people to find you on the internet?
I don't. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers. Give us 5 stars, why don't you? And if you don't think we deserve it, let us know. Also, belt loops, yay or nay with belts.
Yeah.
Chinese food order.
Yeah, hashtag belted out.
What's the other one? Dragon night or no night?
yeah.
Mermaids versus dragons, which one is better?
Yeah, hashtag oh what a night or oh not a night.
Yes.
Or hashtag oh not a night. That's the one. That's it.
Or you can just tell us whatever you want to tell us.
Yeah.
Until next time, we'll be at the Colonial Flea Market.